One of the best books that's coming out soon, and which is already available for your order on Amazon for delivery in early November, is a book that we're going to talk about now called "The Founders at Home" by Myron Magnett. It's subtitled "The Building of America, 1735 to 1817." As I said at the top of this program, we have thematically decided to look at a lot of histories of our founding, the Civil War period, and many of the books that really delve into the question of what makes America exceptional, and why should we care? And Myron Magnett is the author of this soon-to-appear book, The Founders at Home, and is our next guest. And Myron, it is wonderful to have you on WAVA today.
Tim, it is always a pleasure to hear your voice. I'm always happy for an excuse.
I'm so glad that you are rejoining us. A few times ago, as they say, when I was guest hosting, you were on. We got such wonderful reaction to your comments that day that I wanted to have you on again, because The Founders at Home, your pending new book, but the one that people can order, is a wonderful collection. And it's a series of lively biographies that essentially go across 80 years, looking at this revolutionary idea of America. I don't want to put it into my words. I want you to put it into your words. Tell people about The Founders at Home.
Oh, what a nice invitation. Well, you know, Tim, what I was thinking about is I'm old enough so that I remember growing up with the idea that there was tyranny in the world. I know that there was my own family history where we knew about the Nazis. There was always the threat of Soviet tyranny in Eastern Europe, which we knew about. We knew about the crushed Hungarian uprising, the oppression of the satellite states of the Soviet Union. And I wonder now how many young people have a present idea of the idea of tyranny. Certainly the founding fathers did have it. And they had it for a couple of reasons, one of which will particularly fascinate your listeners, which is that they really knew about religious oppression. The Pilgrims of Plymouth were only the first of a whole flood that more than 100 years came to these shores seeking relief from religious oppression. There were Presbyterians and Baptists and every other kind of dissenting Protestant who weren't allowed to practice their religion, who couldn't go to Oxford or Cambridge, who couldn't serve in Parliament in England. There were French Protestants who were not allowed to practice their religion. There were German Pietist Protestants, all who came flocking to these shores and had real family traditions. They would tell these stories. I mean, one of the things that fascinated me is our first Chief Justice, John Jay, was from a Huguenot family, and he sat down to write his autobiography, and he never got very far, but he just told the story of his grandfather, Auguste, whose father was a rich merchant in France, and Jay's grandfather, Auguste, went on a trading voyage, and he came back in the late 17th century, and what he discovered, as Jay put it, was this fury of oppression as the French Catholics had withdrawn their toleration of Protestants, had seized all the Protestants' property, had raised their churches, had taken over their homes, and Auguste kind of quietly snuck back out to his ship, which had just arrived, and ultimately ended up in New York. And John Jay, you can see it now when you visit John Jay's house in Westchester. He's got, in effect, his grandfather's green card, which allowed him to immigrate to a place where you could be free. Or William Livingston, who I write about, who was the first great propagandist of revolutionary ideas in the mid-18th century in New York. His great-grandfather was another Presbyterian who refused to swear allegiance to the Anglican Charles II and so had to flee to Holland. And so that's, you know, through Holland, that's how the Livingston family came to America. So they so had this sense, even as George Washington put it, that this country was a second land of promise. That's his phrase. He saw that it was the promised land, he said, where the oppressed of the world can find refuge, and all those who are heavy laden, he said. So that's the founders set up their country, they were well aware of the capacity of people to oppress, to invade, to rob, and so on, one another. And they were extremely aware that it was not just individuals who could do this, but governments, that the whole history of the world, you know, if you go from Pharaoh to Nero, was this history of oppression. Now, they had another way of understanding from the inside what tyranny was, and this is a kind of cruel paradox, and that is that they had slavery right here in America, and it wasn't just the Northerners, incidentally, who in the earlier part of the 18th century also held slaves, but even Southerners knew that it was wicked. I mean, even Thomas Jefferson knew that as sure as God is just, there will be a tremendous retribution to us for the slavery we've subjected other people to. So for instance, Richard Henry Lee was one of the early presidents of the Continental Congress. He was one of the early ancestors of Robert E. Lee, funnily enough. And his maiden speech in the Virginia House of Burgesses, more than a century before the Civil War, called for the abolition of slavery. He said, how can we be Christians and believe that we are created in God's image and deprive other people created in God's image of the same liberty that we believe that the laws of nature and of God have given to us? So, you know, we cannot do this. And so when Jefferson was our minister in France, he sent for his daughter Polly to come join him from America. And his terror all the time, as she was coming across the ocean, was she might be captured by the Barbary pirates, who, of course, were so active and so dangerous then, and might become a slave, because if there was anybody who knew how terrible a thing slavery was,
yes,
it was Thomas Jefferson.
Well, we are going to continue exactly on this tyranny versus freedom and how the founders at home and the wonderful essays that you write are more timely and relevant than ever in our own century. Stay with us here on The Don Crow Show here on WAVA. We're talking with Myron Magnet. We'll be right back.
Thank you for making my dream a reality and publishing my very first book.
Karen Notner is author of Is Jesus Your Pearl?
You encouraged me, you laughed with me, and you held my hand through the entire process.
Karen's publisher is Zulon Press. Do you dream about publishing? Make the dream real with America's fastest growing Christian book publisher. Your free publishing guide is waiting at ChristianPublishing.com.
Thank you so much to all the wonderful professionals at Zulon Press.
Visit Zulon Press at ChristianPublishing.com.
The recent devastation in Haiti from Hurricane Isaac has made life for many in Haiti extremely difficult, especially children with no homes, parents, or money. Now even more, families have been thrown into devastating poverty and have no means to send their children to school or even provide food on a regular basis. But through Cross International and a long-term partnership with Divine Shelter Schools, you can provide a Christian education, food, and the healing gospel message to desperate children in Haiti. Your one-time gift of $22 feeds a child every day for a year. A one-time gift of just $88 provides a full-year scholarship for one child. I ask you to prayerfully consider providing both food and a scholarship for a child for a full year. That's just a one-time gift of $110. Would you call Cross International right now at 888 888- 715-2525, 888-715-2525. Call Cross International right now at 888-715-2525. You can also give online at WAVA.com.
Are you suffering with joint discomfort? Have you been constantly disappointed by products that have failed to provide the relief you need? Then don't miss this special announcement. A revolutionary joint relief breakthrough called Beneflex will soon be available in retail stores across the country. But before it hits shelves, a limited number of complimentary samples are being released to listeners in this area. To guarantee yours, call 1-800-700-4148. If lines are busy, please try again. This may be your final chance to get a complimentary sample of Beneflex. The unique Beneflex formula contains a clinically tested, patented ingredient that's so effective, you only need to take one pill daily. Just one pill, and you can begin to experience joint relief in as few as 7 days. Relieve your joint discomfort quicker than you thought possible. This may be your last chance to try a complimentary sample of revolutionary Beneflex. So call now. Hurry, supplies are extremely limited. 1-800-700-4148. That's 1-800-700-4148.
We are continuing our conversation this Wednesday with Myron Magnet, the author of a pending new book. He was kind enough to send me a beautiful early edition. You can order it online at Amazon. It's not quite out yet, but it's worth your getting. The Founders at Home, The Building of America, 1735 to 1817. The author, again, is Myron Magnet, our guest. Myron, about 8 miles from where I am sitting, I'm speaking to you from a wonderful studio here in Arlington, Virginia.
No, I know where you are.
Is, of course, the beautiful Mount Vernon.
Oh, yeah.
And Mount Vernon plays a extremely important part of your new book, because George Washington had this remarkable domestic attachment to Mount Vernon. And it really evokes this relationship that you are spelling out for us between tyranny and freedom. And I want to go to this domestic question, because people, and there are lots of them, thousands and thousands who listen to WAVA, have a very special regard for the natural family, for the importance of home, for the importance of place.
Absolutely.
And it has a lot to do with the idea of private property as the cornerstone of our freedom. So,
absolutely.
So, you know, take us on that journey. Why is Mount Vernon such a beautiful metaphor for America and for freedom?
Well, you know what's so interesting is that quite a lot of the founding fathers were amateur architects. And, you know, we know of Jefferson with Monticello, and of course, Washington was the architect of Mount Vernon. And here were people who were inventing a whole new country, a whole new way of governing. And they were inventing it out of a vision that they shared of what was the right kind of life for free Republican men. And the houses that they designed for themselves were a kind of eloquent speaking embodiment of what they thought that kind of life should be. So take Mount Vernon. Mount Vernon began as a house that George Washington's father built early in the 18th century. And when Washington inherited it from his sister-in-law, he decided that he was not going just to tear it down and start all over again like the French revolutionaries. He thought, look, I've got something here from the past that is valuable. Let me keep what is good about it and build upon it. So if you look at Mount Vernon carefully, you'll see that its front is lopsided. The cupola is about 18 inches off center. There's more windows on one side of the front door than there are on the other, because actually the rooms were very beautiful in the old house. And as Washington enlarged and improved on the mansion, much more than doubling it in size, he thought, let me keep what works and we'll put some more on. So it's the most interesting example of what the great living classical architect Alan Greenberg calls the architecture of democracy. It's both a Republican farmhouse and a grandee's mansion, but both stuck together. So the rooms in Mount Vernon, I mean, you know this when you go in it, they're actually rather modest in size.
Yes, they are.
And they have these cozy corner fireplaces, and the ceilings aren't very tall. And you have such a sense there of the wonderful domestic life that George and Martha Washington built. And even though they had no children together, of course, Mrs. Washington had her children, and the house was always filled with children, grandchildren, the children of brothers and sisters who had died or who were too poor to bring them up. They loved having this brood of children around, and Washington loved them. I mean, he loved family life, and he wanted to create this marvelous stage set on which a lovely domestic life could be enacted. And that's what he did in Mount Vernon. Now, he knew that he was also a great public figure and that he was going to have to play a public role. So on one wing, the newest wing of Mount Vernon, where that great, beautiful green state dining room is, that's the stage set. And whenever he had to be Mr. President, he'd have people come in there. It was sort of separated off from the rest of the house by a couple of anterooms. And it really was a stage set. There was no real dining room table in there when he lived there. There were a bunch of trestles with boards on them with beautiful linen on it, and however big the company was or whatever the occasion, he could make it bigger and smaller. But mostly he and his wife and the granddaughters and all the nieces and nephews sat out on that beautiful veranda that caught the afternoon breezes off the Potomac, and George Washington would just admire how beautiful the landscape was, and beautiful in a way that is kind of like what Odysseus describes in the Odyssey. He comes home, and what's so beautiful about his homeland of Ithaca is how useful it is, how good the land is for grazing, how good the trees are for building things out of. And Washington felt the same way about Mount Vernon. The Potomac, he said, is one enormous fishery. You can dredge the mud out of it to use as manure on the farms. And he said, there's nothing that pleases me more than seeing my farms in good order and productive, and I'm willing to spend as much money on them as I can.
And may I say, on that point, we are going to continue our discussion in just a moment. Keep that thought, Myron.
Yes,
sir. We'll be right back on The Don Crow Show. Please stay with us here on WAVA.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
When it comes to giving your child a Christian education, we think you should choose the programs at Montrose Christian School, and here's why. For starters, Montrose has a Christian Child Development Center where we provide licensed child care for children ages 6 weeks to 4 years old. Our threes and fours programs use a full curriculum that teaches the foundations of reading, math, language, and the Bible. Since 1971, we've been providing Christian education for our students, many of whom go on to attend our K-12 program, which seeks to shape leaders who will impact the world for Christ. Our teachers are fully committed and credentialed. Many of them have postgraduate degrees. We faithfully teach the Word of God while emphasizing all aspects of a fully rounded academic program. At Montrose, we have the experience and the heart for your child's development. To learn more about Montrose, Call 301-770-5335 or on the web at montrosechristian.org.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, we are there. When the world looks for truth,
militants attack a natural gas facility.
Broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. And our web and social sites are among the most visited sites in our daily lives.
Bring you the video. Do not go outdoors here in Ocean City right now.
When important moments happen, both big and small, we're the first informers to history. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
And we are back on the Wednesday version of the Don Crow Show here on WAVA. I'm Tim Gagline from Focus on the Family, filling in for Don. Myron, whenever you and I talk, I always think to myself, it's a shame we don't have a long afternoon, because you are made for radio. Before I come back and ask you one more question about your new book, I want to mention the book that you are best known for, which is called The Dream and the Nightmare, The 60s Legacy to the Underclass, because for all the thousands of people listening to this program, they really owe it to themselves to read this book. It is the best single book on what the 1960s were about, and why the radical transformation, in your words, of elite and mainstream American culture that took place in the 60s produced catastrophic results and changes in behavior at the bottom of society that really
You are so kind to say it. And the two books, of course, are connected, because one of the things that the Founding Fathers understood is that if you're going to have a Republican country with a Republican Constitution, you need a Republican culture. And The Dream and the Nightmare was all about how cultural changes caused, bad cultural changes caused bad results in the actual society. And what the founders so cared about was nurturing a culture of virtue so that Americans would have in their own hearts a love of freedom and a love of self-reliance that would make sure that their constitution, which they recognized was only a parchment barrier, would never be overstepped.
With that beautiful summation, we thank you so much for joining us. We wish you, Myron, every success with the founders at home. And as I said at the top of our interview, this is a book that's not quite out yet. It's available for pre-order on Amazon.
And discounted.
Yes, exactly, and for delivery in early November. But it is such a magnificent book that I hope you have every success. And I thank you so much for joining us. And it's so appropriate that we conclude our conversation on the high note of virtue and personal responsibility. It seems to me that there's no better theme for life that is needed in the 21st century.
Here, here. Thank you, Tim. It's always a pleasure.
And we will be